Love sports, love culture. Well, I've got a brand new podcast called Take Line, hosted by me, Jason Concepcion, and two-time WNBA champion Renee Montgomery. From the games to the players to the issues happening both on and off the court, we'll be tackling the important political and social issues happening in sports head on. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so listen and subscribe on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wondering why Tops-friendly market shoppers are getting footloose in produce and letting out shouts at our checkouts? It's Monopoly season, and there's over $30 million in prizes and savings up for grabs, from gift cards to food to fuel and more. And of course, the grand prize. You could win your share of $500,000 with 50 chances to win a $10,000 food and fuel stimulus. Plus, use the all-new super simple Tops Monopoly Rip It and Win It app to scan your online codes and enter for extra prizes. What are you waiting for? It's time to shop, rip, and win with Tops Monopoly. No purchase necessary. See store for official rules. Copyright 1935, 2021, Hasbro.
It's Bowerly, Tom Bowerly, on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yo, welcome. Hey, they could have put me in charge of that spaceship on Mars, Phil. That could have been worse. I had a hard time finding an on-off button right before we came on the air, even though I've been in the studio how many years? Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. We've made it to Thursday, another week under our belts and in our collective notches. And I didn't say nachos, Phil. Don't get all excited. Notches. And by the way, speaking of nachos, I'll have more to say about that momentarily because people clearly want to know. So I mentioned earlier, just a very quick aside. Phil, you and I have discussed before nachos and my lack of understanding about the fascination and attraction with nachos in America. And I have figured it out, Phil. I was getting the wrong nachos. I was getting the cheap nachos with the bad cheese and like the occasional slice of jalapeno. I actually had good nachos the other day. And ladies and gentlemen, I owe all of you in the nacho community a sincere apology for my lack of judgment, my error in taste, and frankly, my prejudice toward the food. And I have changed my ways because I have finally discovered what it is you guys love about nachos. Oh, my goodness. They were fascinating. However, if we ever get to go physically to movies again, I really think we need to see nachos banned because they're too crunchy. They're too distracting. I mean, there you are in the middle of terms of endearment, and suddenly somebody, you know, lets out with an enormous crunch. Now, it's all good and fine during the Big Lebowski. You kind of expect nachos. But, you know, when you get a sappy movie, that Terms of Endearment was out many years ago. And it's like, if you are depressed or sad in any way, shape, or form about life, do not see that movie because things are not going to end well for you. And I strongly advise that you stay away from it. I hope you're having a good day. The weather's beautiful outside so far, 314 at WBEN, and not that I expect you to particularly care, but just for the sake of conversation, because many of you are deciding what you're going to do about this situation, I received this morning the first of what will be two COVID shots. Now, I got the Moderna, which means that right now, Bill Gates is sitting at his office, right at his desk, tracking my every move. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Bill Gates, thanks to this vaccine. But I got the first of two shots today. The second vaccine is coming up in a few weeks or a month or something like that. But anyway, the one thing that I will not do, just for various reasons, and I'm not quite sure I understand why people do this, post pictures of their vaccination record online. I honestly don't know why people do that. And I don't necessarily want to do that as a topic, like, hey, call in. Why? But if you would like to write me an email, I will see if I can't read the most entertaining or enlightening of emails on the air. Why did you post your vaccine card online? And again, no judgment. I'm just kind of curious why you did it, because I ain't going to do it. Now, something that concerned me when I got the vaccination, and I don't know if you experienced this as well, if you've got the vaccination. And by the way, just to head off any nasty grams or Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board criticisms, well, how come you got the vaccine? Well, because I have a number of comorbidities, not the least of which is advanced cardiovascular disease, a really nice heart attack under my belt, and quad bypass. So, and that's only the beginning of the list, ladies and gentlemen. I could go on, but I won't, because that would sound like whining. And actually, I've nothing to whine over. In that respect, I've been very fortunate, or blessed, or whatever you want to say. But the one thing that concerned me when I got the vaccine today, and when they came in afterwards to do the paperwork, they handed me the card and they said, hold on to your vaccination card because you're probably going to need to show it at a lot of places in the future. And like the civil libertarian in me basically had a conniption fit inside. Oh, I hid it well in public. I'm not going to mislead you. I shall not dissemble on that. But I unfortunately see the vaccine situation as being something that becomes mandatory for you to enjoy life. I've said before that one of my big fears is that we're never going to be allowed to take off the mask when we get on an airplane again. I've got, you know, real concerns about that. And the other concern that I have regards what I consider to be, to some extent anyway, a personal liberty and a personal choice issue. I don't think anybody ought to be forced to get the vaccine. But I believe that in a practical sense, and I don't know where you are on this, that tragically, in order to do many things moving forward, I am afraid that we're going to have to prove that we have had the vaccine. And down the line, any booster shots which may come from the vaccine. I don't like that idea, because there are certainly people you know and people I know who don't want the vaccine, and honestly, there's no rational reason for them to receive the vaccine. My daughter has comorbidities. She is not going to get the vaccine, and I think the biggest reason, now, whether this has a scientific basis or not, I don't know, but at some point in her life, she would like to have children, and she's not sold on the safety down the line with respect to reproduction and stuff like that. She basically has said, well, I'm not going to take that chance. I think that is the reason why. Now, my son, and I've mentioned this before, not exactly breaking news, my son is just about 6 feet tall. And yes, he is actually my son. We did the DNA testing. We did it for the family tree stuff. That's the only reason we did it. Don't you go jumping to conclusions on me. But anyway, my son is very much in shape. He's thin, but he's like all muscle. Like he has totally defined muscles, six-pack abs, and he is strong and he is quick. And the kid, the one bad thing I did as a father is I should have put him into a karate class at a very young age, because he is lightning fast and he is absurdly strong. I mean, I'm not like trying to sit here like a dad, like, oh, no, no. But the kid is pretty amazing. But anyway, he's thin and he's got no comorbidity. So there's really, at this point, no logical reason for him to get the vaccine. But what bothers me, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, maybe we'll get into it, maybe we won't. What bothers me is the idea that people like my daughter or my son or my lady, that they may end up de facto having to receive a vaccine they really don't want in order to get on an airplane, in order to board a cruise ship. My family likes to travel. They inherited the travel bug from me, although my ex-wife already had it. But the idea that, okay, honey, I'm going on a cruise because I have the vaccine. You didn't get the cruise, so I guess I'll be going alone. That doesn't really turn me on. And I know that when I got home, the locks would be changed on my house and probably, you know, a quitclaim deed filed and I wouldn't have a place to live. So these are some of the things that concern me. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a sip of my vitamin water. Why did they not come up with this sooner? You know, society, before the Manhattan Project, even before the science of flight came into being, Phil, somebody should have come up with vitamin water way before then. I'm hooked on this stuff. You know, we talked yesterday about pot and stuff. One of my addictions is vitamin water. And this dragonberry, we've discussed this previously. It's my secret vice. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, Phil, and I will literally be jonesing for dragonberry. And we'll go to the fridge and just gulp one of these bad boys down, which probably means I'm pre-diabetic, but I just happen to like the flavor of it. Now, if it's okay with you, and I hope it is, I would like to actually do a topic that I wanted to do yesterday, because today seems like a very good day to do it. And I'm going to try my best not to be preachy or lectury. And sometimes when I get into this topic, I do fall into that rut. And I apologize for that. Nobody likes to be lectured to. I don't like being lectured to. You guys don't. And what it is I get very passionate about the topic because I've seen firsthand people I love who are either no longer with us anymore or who will never be the same because their kids have gone down this path. I want to talk about the drug addiction situation in the United States and here in Western New York, because I think it needs to be addressed. I've done shows on it before. But ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned yesterday, this week, I found out that one of my friends lost a child to a drug overdose. 1 or 2 days later, I found out that another friend lost a son to a drug overdose. And as I mentioned yesterday, the universals with this seem to be heroin, cocaine, and fentanyl. Those seem to be the deadly trio that has claimed so many lives of my circle of friends. You think that maybe in your life you might run into one person who has lost somebody because of an overdose. And tragically, I know a lot more people than that. And I know that sometimes there might be, I don't know if this is still true, but there was a time when people might have said something to you like, hey, so-and-so's son or so-and-so's daughter died of an overdose. And you think that, wow, well, there's some real bad parenting going on there. And at least in my experiences, I can tell you that the people whose lives have been forever altered because their loved one died of a drug overdose were absolutely, and still are, salt of the earth people. They were great parents. It's just that tragically the allure and the power of addiction was greater than the common sense or the being health conscious of the person who finds themselves in that situation. So I'm kind of curious, especially with COVID, because the COVID situation has caused people to make some bad choices. And there's a lot of ways, as you know, there's a lot of ways you can make bad choices. I've made bad choices, in particular with food. I've made some atrocious choices, and it shows. But it ain't going to kill me, at least immediately. But if you personally have been in a situation where you have had to fight off, you know, one of these demons of addiction, and it's not only the illegal stuff, guys. It's even the legal stuff. Alcohol, you know, liquor stores were declared to be an essential business at the beginning of the pandemic, which angered a lot of people until the doctors came out and they said, well, the reason is we have a lot of alcoholics, and if they can't get their fix, they're going to have some health problems like the DTs or whatever. And, you know, I can see the reasoning behind that. But if you in your life, as a spectator or as a participant, have been hit by the scourge of overdoses or perhaps alcohol, I mean, including alcohol, I would like to hear your story. And one of the things that I do want to say is you don't have to give your real name. As far as I'm concerned, and I've done this every time we've done this show, and we haven't done this show in quite some time, like it's been years. The important thing is we hear your story. As far as I'm concerned, everybody calling in, if you're a woman, you can be Jill. If you're a guy, you can be Jack. It doesn't matter. What's important is your story. And my hope is that people can learn from it, because you know, a lot of people might not have the number of friends you have or the number of friends I have and a large social circle, and they might not realize exactly how epidemic it is out there. The phone number is 803-0930. And actually, Neil in Forestville suggested I revisit this topic. As I said, it's been years. 803-0930 is the landline number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I'm not trying to bring anybody down by doing this show, but it's one of those things that when you guys tell your stories resonate more than anything I can say or anything some public service announcement can say, and that is why I'm asking for your help, because we might just help somebody else who's listening. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. All right, Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you very, very much for listening to this program. I truly appreciate it greatly. And you'll forgive me, but my eyes are just a little bit bleary now. It has nothing to do with receiving the COVID vaccine, number one. It has everything to do with looking at my friend Booker's Facebook page and the suit he's wearing with the yellow hat. I'm afraid it's burned into my brain now forever, but it's a nice outfit, Booker. If you go out at all in Western New York, you too are Booker's friend, okay? I mean, he's one in a million. That's all I can tell you. All right, it is 3:38 at WBEN, and this is, frankly, a show about which I feel very, very passionate because, and I'm sure many people listening can relate to what I'm about to say, because I know a number of people who have lost children or loved ones to overdoses. And it was bad enough before COVID, but during COVID, I've heard more and more stories. And every one of them is heartbreaking. And, you know, addiction and overdoses, they are no respecters, if you will, of individuals. They can hit anybody. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter how much money your parents have. Doesn't matter how big a house you have or whether you drive an old Chevy Nova or a brand new Corvette. They can hit anybody. And, you know, just because somebody has a child who overdosed does not mean you should jump to the conclusion, and forgive, I don't mean to sound luxury, but please don't jump to the conclusion that they were bad parents. So if you've had an experience along those lines, I would like to know it. If you're talking about somebody else, please don't use their name. I would appreciate that. And the other thing I was going to mention is you don't have to give us your real name. But what I'm trying to do is give people who listen to this show a glimpse into what really is going on out there. I mean, alcohol sales alone went up by 33% during the pandemic. Let's go to Jack in Cheektowaga. Jack, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. You know, I want to thank you for doing this show today because, you know, this one hits hard, really hard at home. Back in 2015, I had lost three friends very close to me. They were like brothers. Actually, they were roommates of mine, all of them. And they all passed away within 3 months of each other, two of whom were brothers, and their mother and father had to put two of their children in the ground less than 3 months apart from each other. And the other two died, you know, and passed away from overdoses a day apart. You know, myself, I never got into the opiates and anything like that. I mean, I dabbled. I played when I was a child and when I was younger in my high school years. But, you know, what people don't seem to realize is this affects everybody. This affects from, like you said, from, you know, the rich to, you know, the people that, you know, those that are stuck in a poverty situation. So, you know, and, you know, the problem with it is that, you know, when I went through this, I watched the parents of, you know, my best friends, all of them, and great, amazing people. I mean, these are people that, you know, help their community. They, you know, they're there. They've done, you know, they've been in the community. And you wouldn't look at these people beforehand and say, hey, you know, they were bad parents. You're right. I mean, you got to, you know, people need to stop judging of what's going on and realize that this is something that has been taking place for a long time, and it was set up this way. And, you know, to lose somebody and see the uglies of it, I mean, especially now during COVID, I can only imagine, you know, with the depression and the society and everything going on at this point, that, you know, people may not realize, they look at it and they read about the overdoses and they hear it, but they don't see how easy this is to get. I mean, somebody who knows, being in that community, I know from watching my friends that I know how easy it is to just turn your corner, and no matter where you live, I can almost guarantee you within a 3-block radius of your home, you can purchase heroin right now. It's that prevalent in our communities. And, you know, I didn't grow up, I'm 36 years old. I didn't grow up seeing this when I grew up in my neighborhoods. And now I'm walking around and you see the paraphernalia laying everywhere around.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not how our children should have to see society, and, you know, and right now media has been taken over from, you know, the political agenda and COVID and every other, you know, format. But, you know, it seems to be people have lost sight that we were in an epidemic before we were in a pandemic, and it didn't go away. If anything, it got worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things, Jack, that I have a problem with for many, many reasons, but saying that the heroin and cocaine and fentanyl opiates, overdoses represent an opiate crisis in America, I don't go down that road because, you know, opiates, when prescribed by a physician for certain conditions, they have a place, and people who live in chronic pain ought not have to suffer through their life when there are medications that can help them. But I'm afraid that there's been this conflation of opiate crisis with the overdose crisis, and I don't necessarily believe that is always true. I mean, you know, yes, heroin is an opiate. I get it. But there are opiates that people take every day under doctor supervision so they can lead productive lives. But I mean, what I believe we're really talking about is a fentanyl crisis and a crisis with people who are, frankly, self-medicating. They ought to be seeing a psychiatrist, but instead they're buying cocaine or they're buying heroin to feel better. And it's just a one-way ticket to death.
you're right, Tom. And you know what? But where I say with an opiate crisis is because, you know, I mean, like I said, I've been around this, you know, the neck of the woods my whole life. I mean, this is something that's been around my personal social group. I mean, I've seen it. And where when I say the, you know, opiate epidemic, I get where you're coming from. But now we've got to look at the precursors of why and how it fell apart. And what happened is most people don't realize it, that don't know or haven't looked. Yes, opiates do have a medical place in society. They absolutely do. This isn't just a point one finger and point the blame type of situation, by no way, shape, or form. This is a compilation of regulations or, you know, lack of regulations that have taken place along with social accountability, okay? So I don't want to remove that from the equation. But when New York State instituted iStop, they knew there was going to be a crisis by the way that they stopped the prescription processing and only allowing so many prescriptions or pills to be out for a 30-day supply. There was there was more to it than that. I mean, we could go back and forth all day on the ways and the things that went wrong. But so I will tell you, yes, opiate crisis or epidemic might be a misguided way to say it. But where I was going with it is that the availability to obtain a narcotic, we'll say, on the street, in any community where you go, and it's almost as if it's looked upon now like it's acceptable. Like, hey, we should, it's not acceptable. It was never acceptable. And
no, but, let me just interrupt you, if I may. One of the things, and I hope we get calls from people who have been in the situation themselves or who've had loved ones in this situation. One of the problems, as I see it, is when DEA and the states started cracking down on physicians who were duly trained to dispense medications. And those physicians said, you know what? I know this person's in chronic pain, but I don't feel like dealing with the DEA every week. And they cut off people from safe opiates under a doctor's care, and a lot of those people, the pain didn't go anywhere, so they switched. They became alcoholics, or they went with another drug. I mean, as you said, I personally think it's very sad that it's so easy for somebody to score heroin on the street, but it's so difficult to get a legit prescription when you've got serious pain issues.
You're 100% correct, Tom. I mean, and that's exactly why it went to the street. And that was my point that I was pointing out, was that I'm not, I don't want to point fingers at the doctors who are trying to take care of patients. And, you know, that's almost like pointing a finger and saying, because, you have one bad apple, the whole bunch is spoiled. And that's not the way it is, But now here's the other end of it. When you institute a program or you institute iStop like that, you have to have something to back it up and have a recourse, and the state really didn't. Their only recourse to stop it was, let's change the prescriptioning process and the ability to obtain a prescription, but not having any form of alternative treatment or some form of way to regulate it to keep these people from going to the streets. And not all people are, come from starting off of pain prescription, prescription pain medication, and it's not always just pain medication. Like you said, it's alcohol, it's, cocaine use, it's everything. But the problem is we look at it as society, and everyone's so quick to turn their head and say, oh, look at, that person's, there goes another junkie, there goes this. But, what they don't realize is, rather than looking at somebody and labeling somebody something, why don't we look at it and say, this is our community, this is our society. That person may need help. That person, that person might just need somebody to talk to them and guide them into the right direction. I mean, one life saved from an addiction and an overdose could be a dozen, because that person saved has a purpose, and that purpose a lot of times is to try to save somebody from what they were saved from.
You're preaching to the choir. I've got to get on to some other folks and a break, but I'm really glad you called, and I appreciate you bringing passion to the show very much. I mean, you've seen what it does to the survivors, and it's heartbreaking.
It is, Tom, and my condolences to all the families out there and friends having to deal with this right now. I mean, just be open and realize that there are people to talk to. There are open people that will hear you and understand your pain. So don't just hide behind it. Seek out that help. And if you know somebody, encourage them to seek out that help.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I got to say, Tom.
Absolutely. All right. I thank you very much for the call. I've done this show before, but I haven't done it in a few years. Has addiction or overdose touched you or your life? And I'm going to tell you, it has touched my life and the people I know very, very deeply and all too frequently. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, I, like you, I'm a parent. And when I talk to other parents who have been through the hell of having to bury their own kid, there's nothing you can say except just to be there as an ear for them and to reassure them that it wasn't something they did. And a very important show to me. Honestly, it is a personal thing for me because I know so many really nice people who have had to bury their children in particular because of overdoses. And the number of people just recently who have confided in me and have talked to me about this is tragically, astonishingly high. And, you know, it isn't only the issue with the heroin and the cocaine and the fentanyl. There's also alcohol. As I said earlier, it's a very telling stat that alcohol sales are up 33% since the pandemic started. And people run into problems with alcohol. And sometimes, you know, that can get overlooked as we focus on the other stuff. Let's go back to the calls on WBEN. And as I said yesterday, talking about the pot thing, you know, this is a judgment-free zone, meaning I do not think you're a horrible person. I do not think you're evil or a scumbag if you or somebody in your family has fallen victim to drug addiction or a drug overdose. We're all human beings, and these things, you know, they happen. And hopefully you can head them off before they're fatal, but all too often lately, you know, just I've heard way too many horror stories from parents who are grieving. Here's Bobby in Buffalo. Bobby, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Bobby.
I heard your show yesterday, and you were talking about marijuana and stuff like that, and the opioid crisis, and all the stuff going on with COVID right now. And I got a lot to weigh in on this because I take pain medication due to several back problems, and I'm 42. I probably had 15 people dead that overdose.
Oh my goodness! You said at the beginning of the call that you had a lot to say. I'm running short of time this hour, and I want to put you on hold, and you'll be the very first person with whom I speak after the news break. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, yep. I was going to say, you got to be, because I don't have a choice. 356, if you're just joining us, you know, yesterday we talked about pot, but the show that I really wanted to do was the drug addiction and overdose show, because we do, I mean, I don't know if I should call it an epidemic, but in my circle of friends, and thank God it's a very large circle of friends. I am grateful for that every single day. But I've just run into way too many people, and particularly lately, who have buried kids because of overdoses. And every time I hear it, it breaks my heart. And it doesn't matter what you look like, what your ethnicity is. Doesn't matter whether you drive a Porsche or a Chevy Vega. We're all humans, and we are susceptible to this, and certainly we all cry when people we know are no longer with us.
It's Bowerly, Tom Bowerly, on News Radio 930 WBEN.
If you're just joining us, hope you had a good day at work, getting off at 4 o'clock. If you see any traffic issues, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board is 803-0930, or if you prefer, 803-0930. We're talking about today is what I wanted to do yesterday. And I wanted to do it yesterday because in the past, like, less than a week, I have had experiences talking with two parents, each of whom has lost a child to overdose. And in these cases, it has been heroin, cocaine and fentanyl. But there are also, look, there's also a real problem with alcoholism out there. And COVID-19, I'm not just pulling this out of my nether regions, but over 81,000 drug overdoses took place in the United States in the 12 months ending last May, the highest number of overdose deaths ever recorded in a 12-month period. And I have a sneaking suspicion that when the statistics for 2021 come out, until the end of May 2021, I suspect that number is going to be tragically higher. And again, when you call in with your experiences, perhaps as a parent, perhaps as somebody who is able to beat your addiction, you don't have to give us your real name. And when I say that it's a judgment-free zone, what I mean by that is pretty simple. I don't think that you're a horrible person or a scumbag if you or a child got into drugs and overdosed or got into drugs and cleaned up. One of the problems here, I think, is that in drug education, they don't tell people that the reason folks do drugs is because they make you feel better. I mean, they make you feel better. It just happens to be really unhealthy for you. And one of the things that I mentioned yesterday in previous shows on this subject that needs, I think, to be paid attention to by folks, especially in the medical community. They already know this, but it's like they don't talk about it enough, I don't think. A lot of times, I personally believe that the reason people get into drugs is I think what happens is they're self-medicating for depression. You know, if you're sad, if you've been through a terrible situation like a breakup with a girlfriend, maybe the death of somebody you cared about, and you've been, you know, dragging your chin around for a long time, and suddenly you're at a party and somebody whips out some cocaine. The dirty little secret is it's going to make you feel good for a little while till you crash. Problem is that you want that feeling all the time. And that feeling doesn't happen all the time because your body builds up a tolerance to that and other drugs. And one of the real issues that also I think needs to be addressed here is the fact that the drugs that are out today are being contaminated by synthetic fentanyl. It's not the fentanyl you get in a hospital setting. Like when they did the angiogram a couple of months ago on me, I was under the influence of fentanyl, but it was medical grade fentanyl in a hospital setting. But what's out there on the streets is killing people. So you think, I mean, you could be a veteran. You know, there are people I know who've been doing cocaine for a long time. People I know who've done heroin a few times. But, you know, you might think that you're impervious to cocaine. And then suddenly you buy a couple of grams. What they didn't tell you is it's mixed with fentanyl. So you think that you're invincible and impervious to the stuff. And before you know it, you're dead. And tragically, we've seen that happen locally in a local community within the last year or so. A number of people at the same party died after doing cocaine. And, you know, again, I'm not trying to be preachy. Believe me, I'm not trying to be preachy. But you can't trust street drugs. You can't trust them. And there's just, you know, there's no high in the world that is worth your life and the sadness that you leave behind. So please keep that in mind. But I want to hear your stories of people, without naming names, people that you have lost, or maybe your own story about how you got trapped and how you got out of it. And again, no judgment. I mean, I've been around the block a few times, okay? And nothing would really surprise me. And 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And if this show today, and this sounds so liberal when I say this, this is an argument that so many people on the left use, and it sounds hokey and it sounds kind of silly, but I'm going to say it anyway, despite the hokiness that might come along with it. I really hope that this show is able to save a life or two. You know, maybe somebody realizing that, yeah, you know what? I can't risk it anymore with whatever drug. Maybe somebody realizing, you know, somebody needs some help and we're going to get him or her that help. And one more thing before I get back to the calls. Again, look, I'm not a prude, and I'm not a member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union at all. But alcohol is also a big drug out there, and COVID has produced a lot of alcoholics. And alcohol in the long term can mess up your body big time. And again, not trying to lecture at all, but more people are drinking more, and you've got to be aware of what you're getting yourself into. But let's hear your stories on WBEN. Bobby in Buffalo had a lot to say. Bobby, thanks for holding, and you're on with us.
How you doing, Tom?
Well, I'm anxious to hear what you've been going through.
Yeah, well, I don't know where to start. First, I think the war on drugs is a joke. And I've been around the block. I'm street. I'm using an alias. I know all about the drugs you're talking about. I used to sell some, and I'm going to tell you the truth. And I hope your listeners really listen to this, because this could help a lot of people, not just one or two. They call marijuana what, the gateway drug?
Well, they used to.
Well, yeah, they still do. But the only reason why that I think, or I know that that's the gateway drug, is because when you go to a drug dealer's house, you're going there for marijuana, and then he also has other stuff. So if we legalized marijuana, that would stop that from happening. If we actually legalized every drug and just tried to help people get off it and mandated governmentally, which the government sucks at doing this kind of thing, that would help a lot of people. Many countries have done that, and I mean, we're the worst. We're the best country supposedly in the world, but we're the worst of many things.
Well, look, if we wanted people to reduce the risk of ODing on drugs, there would be government dispensaries and people could sign up and at least they would know what they are getting. That would take care of the immediate problem of these overdoses. And then in the longer term, but nobody wants to hear this, in the longer term, you got to invest in mental health services to get at the root of the problem, why people are attracted to these drugs in the first place.
Yes, I'm bipolar and I absolutely believe what you're saying, because the main reason why people take drugs is to stop feeling. They don't want to feel anything. They just want to feel fine. That's absolutely the main reason. The problem is that everything's always about money, and that's sad. I mean, I don't consider myself a Democrat, Republican. I'm a patriot. I believe in the country that was first born, but we're not talking about that. Now, fentanyl. Okay, you talked about cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. They mix. I don't even ever heard of anybody ever mixing cocaine with fentanyl. They mix that with heroin.
No, it's happened. It's happening more and more. I know this for a fact.
Probably has, yeah. Okay. So, and the fentanyl they're getting on the street is the fentanyl you get in the hospital. They're just putting too much into it.
Well, actually, it's synthetic stuff, a lot of which is being made in China.
Oh, really?
Yep. absolutely. Hey, Bobby, I got to get on to some other folks. I hope that things go well for you. I appreciate your call, and we just happen to have a lot of people who want to get in on this. And, you know, sometimes it is tough to know where to begin talking about this. I get that. I understand it. All right, if you're just joining us, this is the show I wanted to do yesterday. Has your life been touched by addiction? And I'm sure we have some parents listening who are crying because they've had to bury their son or their daughter after an overdose. I can offer you no comfort other than to tell you, if it makes you feel any better, even like a hair better, tragically, you are not alone. It's not you. It isn't you. It's, you know, whatever it is that gets people into this stuff and then unable to escape. And tragically, sometimes it's the luck of the draw. But, you know, seriously, the stuff on the street is, it's bad news these days. I mean, it's always been bad news, but it's especially bad news these days. And booze, you know, again, I enjoy drinks. I'm not going to lie. But we see a lot more people abusing alcohol. And that can be, you know, it does happen, but you're probably not going to overdose on alcohol. But in the long term, it can do a number on various systems of your body. This is the show I wanted to do yesterday. We're doing it today. I think it's very important. I've done this show before, but I haven't done it in a few years. Addiction. And I'm afraid to say it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And COVID has not helped. And there are a lot of hurting people out there. Let's go to Bob in Cheektowaga. Bob, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thank you. I'll try to get through as quick as I can. I wanted to be able to talk, but I lost a daughter to alcohol at the age of 27.
I'm so sorry, Bob.
No, and I just want to say that I'm still proud of her, and I was going to help other people, but I can't because I can't get it out.
Well, you know what, Bob? I would like you to be able to help other people too. And if you want to send me an email, if that is a little bit easier for you, so you don't have to talk and go through all those emotions, I'd be happy to read your email on the air if that would be helpful to you.
Let me just say this. I say to people that, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And, I still go to where she used to go to get help, and the letters she used to write, and I'll read them to people to try to help them. And I just want to say that you know, it hurts, but you go on for the rest of your family. But I just want to say to the people out there that don't give up on your child, and they're not bad. They just are. They have a sickness, and you just got to pray for them. And thank you for the time.
Oh, Bob, my pleasure, and my best to you and your family. And I know how much you loved your daughter. And if your daughter is looking down from heaven right now, I'm sure she's very happy that you're making the call and maybe helping somebody else. But you're absolutely right. There's nothing of which to be ashamed. These things happen to human beings. And tragically, it happened to you. It happened to your daughter. And I wish you nothing but the best. And if you get home and want to send an email today while I'm doing the topic and think that maybe you left something out, I'd be happy to read it on the air for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, brother. Hang in there, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And folks, again, I realize that this is not exactly a pick-me-up and let's have laughs show. It's not supposed to be. But if there's any affirmative value in what we're doing in helping somebody else, I'll feel like I did a good job today, and I can only do it with your help. And you don't have to give your real name at all, but your story is important. Have you or has a loved one been touched by addiction? And unfortunately, friends of mine lately, I've heard way too many stories like Bob's. But in my case, in their case, it involved drugs other than alcohol. Thanks a lot, Phil. Needed my my yacht rock there. Hey, do you think at 5:30 you could do Steal Away? Could you do that? Why don't we steal away? Okay, thank you, Phil. I just need to hear that song. Don't bother me. All right, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Good to be with you. And one more time for this hour, the WBEN spring stimulus word is audio, A-U-D-I-O. Text it to 72881. 72881 for your shot at winning. I almost said $1 million. No. For your shot at winning $1,000 from News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. This is a topic I've done before over the years, but I haven't done it, I don't think, in a couple of years. And it's an important topic to me because, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And there are very few times, like I can drive home and think, wow, that was a really good show. You know, it was entertaining or it was informational. And then sometimes, you know, I drive home and I'll say to myself, boy, that sucked. I've been doing this for how long? Just like you, you've had good days at work, you've had bad days at work. But this topic of have you been touched by addiction, yourself, a family member, maybe you've had to bury a child or a loved one. There's something about this topic that resonates with the people who listen to this show. And I know that because I get it when I am out. I mention this probably once a week. You know, I mentioned it earlier. I'm blessed to have a lot of friends. And I don't just go home and do nothing. You can usually find me out about the town, usually with a lot of my friends. It's what we do. And a lot of times, somebody will kind of like come up and say, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So they'll say, look, I didn't want to say it in front of your friends, but I want to thank you for the show you did on addiction because I lost my fill in blank here to a drug overdose, and that show somehow made me feel better because it made me realize that I wasn't alone and that I wasn't the worst parent ever, that things happen, and it was not a reflection on my parenting skills or devotion to my child. And when I hear that from people, I mean, first of all, I just want to start crying, but it means a lot to me because, you know, talk radio, there are many different theories about talk radio and how to do it and the topics you're supposed to do. But this is one of those topics that sadly hits home with a lot of people. And it's also one of those topics where, and this happens very rarely, where I feel like maybe, just maybe, it is helpful to people. Either people who are dealing with grief, though I'm certainly not a grief counselor, or people who are in the throes of addiction, who realize, whoa, things are getting way out of hand. I got to do something. You know, I mean, no big secret. I've done my share of partying in life. Not going to deny that. But times are different. Times have changed. And no matter what your poison of choice happens to be, chances are, if it's not legal, it's adulterated on the street. And the legal stuff, the alcohol, you know, we just took a call earlier from a fella who lost his daughter because of alcoholism. And sometimes people can overdose on alcohol. Don't want to pretend that that doesn't happen. I believe Amy Winehouse, the singer, I believe she had a ridiculous amount of alcohol in her system when she died. And then sometimes you might have this in your own family. it's a period of time where alcohol becomes like slow suicide to people, you know, eats away at you. You know, everything in moderation, they say. But, you know, there are things out there on the street right now where, you know, you can't even take the risk of doing it in moderation because it might be the last thing you ever do. And you don't want that as your legacy. You know, you don't want your kids or your parents to say, yeah, well, I lost so-and-so because of fill in embarrassing thing here. You know, it's a legacy we'd rather not leave behind. And unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, the people who are your survivors, they've got to live with that. And it's very, very difficult. It's painful. It hurts. There's a degree of embarrassment about it, though there really ought not to be. But I'd like your calls at 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to East Amherst. And Sandy, welcome. You're on Bowerly. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I was listening to your show, and it hits home, obviously. A little over three years ago, my husband and I lost our daughter. She was 27 years old. She was her last semester of getting her master's degree. You would never know that she had a problem. She was very productive. She was going to school, working full time, lives in the...
Love sports? Love culture? Well, I've got a brand new podcast called Take Line, hosted by me, Jason Concepcion, and two-time WNBA champion Renee Montgomery. From the games to the players to the issues happening both on and off the court, we'll be tackling the important political and social issues happening in sports head on. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so listen and subscribe on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wondering why Tops Friendly Markets shoppers are getting footloose in produce and letting out shouts at our checkouts? It's Monopoly season, and there's over $30 million in prizes and savings up for grabs, from gift cards to food to fuel and more. And of course, the grand prize. You could win your share of $500,000 with 50 chances to win a $10,000 food and fuel stimulus. Plus, use the all-new super simple Tops Monopoly Rip It and Win It app to scan your online codes and enter for extra prizes. What are you waiting for? It's time to shop, rip, and win with Tops Monopoly. No purchase necessary. See store for official rules. Copyright 1935, 2021 Hasbro.
Very close-knit family, and it was probably 2 years before she passed when my husband and I really found out how bad she was, and we were blessed enough that I researched to try to find her the best place to send her. I wanted to get her out of Buffalo, away from things, and I did find a great rehab facility near Baltimore. And the problem with that was 4 weeks, I'm sorry, is just not enough, because you're there for 4 weeks and everybody's watching everything you do. And then, you know, you're supposed to, after that, they say, here you go, you know. So when my daughter passed, I was the last person to talk to her. And I promised her, I said, I promise you, Mom will take on the legacy of what you wanted to do. You wanted to help others. She was going to get her master's degree in mental health counseling. So what I did was I started a foundation. It's the Hillary Grace White Foundation. There's two aspects to it. The first one is every year we give a $15,000 scholarship to a recipient in at Canisius in the master's program. That's number one. And number two, I thought and thought, how can I honor my daughter with what she went through and stuck with it to try to get better? And she went to a transitional home. It was outside of Baltimore. And that's when everything fell apart. It was a nightmare. Anything she had was stolen. They slipped her tires on her car. I mean, you name it. It just happened. There's never food in the house. So what I decided to do was with the foundation is, and actually we're starting to really gain some traction here, we are going to build a beautiful transitional house for people who need it, who need that little leap of, you know, before they're ready to go to their home environment, they can this is like almost like the second step.
And they're still accountable. There's still the regular urinalysis and everything?
Absolutely. It's going to be similar to a rehab, but they're going to have the freedom of they may be in school or they may be working or whatever, but they definitely are going have to be accountable for themselves.
Well, I mean, I applaud you for turning a tragic situation for your family into what hopefully is going to be an improved chance at getting out of it for other families. You're welcome to email me information.
Thank you. I will. I just say, there's one of her brochures. There's just something that touches me every time I read it. It's her picture. And we were probably one of the first. When her obituary was in the paper, it was her picture, and it said she died from an opiate overdose. I wanted people to know, look at this, is the face of addiction. Is anybody paying attention? So I have her photo in our trifold, and it just says, this is the face of addiction. Addiction takes the soul of those suffered by this disease and breaks the hearts of those who love them. So I'm doing my best to keep my promise to my daughter, and we're just going to keep moving forward until that house.
That's very important, Sandy. One thing I've not touched on yet, and if I'm crossing a line here, please let me know. But you, I presume, are married?
Yes, my husband's a physician.
Okay, here's what I'm getting at. Here's what I'm getting at. You guys have managed to keep the marriage together despite what you've been through, because oftentimes, as you know, it doesn't work that way.
I do know that, yes. No, we'll be married 40 years in the summertime.
Well, congratulations. Unfortunately, what people don't understand is going through a situation like you went through, or even losing a child to a violent crime where they've been a murder victim, a lot of marriages cannot take the strain of that. And, they end up in divorce more so than couples without the stress. If you want to send me an email, I'd be happy to put something up on Facebook.
I would love that. Thank you very much.
All right, Sandy, you hang in there and give your best, give my best to your husband, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Thank you. There's a woman that obviously had a great daughter. Daughter had an addiction issue. And I love what she said about, I'm not going to hide it, in the obituary, dead from opiate overdose. That is, not everybody is willing to do that or feels comfortable doing that. But you kind of wonder how many people she may have helped by doing it. Because, you know, look, addiction doesn't have a face. It really doesn't. And, think about the people you know in your life who've died of overdoses or who've had kids die of overdose. Is there any common denominator in there as far as the way they look or socioeconomic status or race or religion? No, this can happen to anybody. Anybody. It's no respecter of persons, as they used to say. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I'm very grateful for your participation in the show. It only works when you tell me your story. And for some of you, it's cathartic. For some of you, it's painful. But I guarantee there are people listening who are taking notes and grateful that you're opening up your soul to the world. I'm grateful very much for your calls. And you know what really... in addition to the idea that maybe we're helping people today, I'm not. You are. I'm simply the medium. I'm the vehicle. But I am grateful for the trust you guys show me. Whenever I do a show like this, because I think that it takes a lot of courage to call in, and I also think that as a host, it's impossible to do this kind of a show unless people who are calling in have some kind of trust in you. And I don't take that for granted, and I really do value it. And thank you very much. Here's Russ in North Tonawanda on WBEN. Hello, Russ.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm quite well. Thank you.
I'm a recovering alcoholic. It'll be 35 years at the end of May that I've been clean and sober. I was fortunate enough to realize that I had reached that bottom in my life where I needed – to get off the stuff, whether it was the drugs or whether it was the alcohol. I also went through two treatment centers, and I spent a year and a halfway house in Florida before I decided to do what I needed to do to get sober. I do need to let people know that if anything I say may help them, then, you know, that's great. I do have to say that for me, and this is the way that I think that maybe a lot of alcoholics think, that, you know, I hear all the time about people saying, well, you know, I go out and have one or two beers. An alcoholic's mind, it doesn't work that way. You know, an alcoholic's mind, for me anyway, it's there's one purpose and one purpose only for alcohol, and that's get completely blown away.
Mm.
I have had an experience where the first time I tried to get sober, I almost died due to the fact that I was drinking and using other things, and I spent a month in the hospital due to pancreatitis.
Oh, good grief.
Yes, back in 1980. And I went back out there for 6 years because I was not ready. It has to be for yourself. You know, I've heard of people that they've been sentenced to getting treatment, whether through their addiction or their alcoholism. And if you're not ready to get sober, you're not going to get sober. If you're not ready to get clean, you're not going to get clean. It has to be for yourself first and foremost, but you need that support group. I went through AA for many years to follow up my treatment centers and my halfway house that I went to in Florida.
Hey, I'm going to have to break and get on to some other folks, but I want to ask you a quick question. Do you think that this is a Russ thing, or do you think that a lot of it has to do with the genes, G-E-N-E-S, you inherited?
Well, I do have a grandfather that was an alcoholic. He never did get sober. In fact, I remember before he passed away, and he passed away when I was maybe 6 years old. But I do remember I would get up in the morning when I was spending, maybe I would spend a weekend with my grandparents or something, and he would put alcohol in, he would put whiskey in his cereal in the morning. He would put whiskey in his coffee. I do remember that.
Wow. I am so happy to hear that you are sober. I appreciate the call very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much, Russ. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. One of the problems I have doing this show is there are so many times where I want to keep people on and talk more and more and more, and that's not really fair to the people who are on hold.
It's Bowerly. Tom Bowerly. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Okay. So if you're just joining us, is this one of those, hey, let's have a good time and laugh shows? No, it is not. It is a topic I have done before on several occasions, but unfortunately, I have not been able to do it recently. And this was the first opportunity that I've had to do. I was going to do it yesterday, but then the whole marijuana thing came up. But we're talking about addiction and overdose and whether your life has been touched by it. And if you are just joining us, please know, I like to say this a couple of times every time we do this show, that I do not sit in judgment of you, all right? In other words, what I'm trying to communicate is if you call in and you tell me, hey, I used to be hooked on heroin, or hey, I'm hooked on cocaine right now, or my child died of an overdose, there is not one cell in my body that is going to demean you or treat you with anything less than full respect. Why would I? I'm in no position to judge. I'm just going to put it to you that way. I'm in no position to judge. So, unfortunately, the reason why I'm doing this show is over the years, a number of people I know who are salt of the earth, pillar of the community people, have lost children because of overdoses. And we do have still, believe it or not, a problem with alcohol overdoses and young people who become incredibly alcoholic incredibly early and who run into complications. Amy Winehouse, I believe, the singer, want to go to rehab. I said, no, no. That one, she died, I believe, of a pretty intense alcohol overdose. But with the people with whom I've discussed this recently, and unfortunately, this is a discussion I've had way too many times with people, typically it's heroin. And what I'm hearing, heroin and fentanyl, typically. But what I've heard recently, and this actually, come to think of it, this actually represents a change. Because usually when I would talk to people about their children's fatal overdoses, it would be heroin mixed with fentanyl. But what I'm hearing more and more of lately, the past three people who have told me about their losses, and that alone should tell you something about the magnitude of the problem in Western New York. I'm one guy, and three people recently have told me, hey, I just had to bury a child. It has been heroin, fentanyl, and cocaine. And, you know, again, please, I don't want to come off like I'm lecturing, but just one human being to another, this is not a time to be experimenting or continuing with your foray into the world of drugs. And, you know, there was a case not too long ago where three people, might have been four, three or four people overdosed locally in a local city. And as it happens, through a friend, I didn't directly know this person, but through a friend I knew of one of the people who died, and that was cocaine. And the cocaine was mixed with fentanyl. And a whole bunch of people did a whole bunch of lines, and three of them didn't wake up. And one of them just barely escaped, as I recall the story. So I guess, you know, we don't do, you know, those hokey 80s public service announcements that they used to do, but, you know, just take it from me that there's a lot of bad stuff out there. I mean, it's always been bad. I get it. But it's like bad to the point of being fatal with a very low amount right now. And, you know, you ought to know that. It's bad. And if you're just joining us, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a mental health counselor and I'm not a substance abuse counselor, but just my personal observation on these things is that I happen to believe that a lot of the reason people find themselves hooked on drugs, again, it's not that they're bad people at all, but I think what happens in a lot of cases is people are self-medicating. I think people go through depression, maybe some kind of a clinical depression over a period of months or years. Sometimes people get broken up with or they're going through a divorce and they, you know, run across a friend with a particular drug and they try the particular drug and suddenly, whoa, no more depression. Gee, I haven't felt this good in a long time. And unfortunately, that is just the beginning of, you know, the spiral into addiction. And the tragedy again, I mean, the tragedy is that so many folks are in a lot of pain right now because somebody they loved went out that way suddenly without warning, without notice. 1 minute you think everything's okay, and the next minute they're no longer part of this world. And I do believe that mental health is a reason why people get caught up in drugs. And one of the things that I said before is I wish that people would be honest a little bit more about why people get into drugs. And this isn't a popular thing to say, but it happens to be true. Drugs can make you feel pretty darn good. You know, if you're sad and depressed and you find a certain perhaps stimulant class of drugs, it's like, whoa, I feel really good right now. And there's another thing, and again, I'm not an expert on this stuff, but I talk to an awful lot of people who are. And believe it or not, there are some people with ADHD, and for whatever reason, their chemical makeup is such that they do cocaine and they don't start freaking out. They actually, for whatever reason, it focuses their attention more. And they actually, at least for a time, become more productive and more alert. But that, again, that is going to depend on somebody's body chemistry. I mean, the point I'm trying to make here is there's a whole bunch of reasons why people, you know, find themselves into drugs. But one of the things that I think they need to talk about more is people do it because they think it's making them feel better, even though in the long term, it's not. And, you know, being aware of that, I think a little bit of knowledge or information, you know, I think it can be power. But if you found yourself in this situation of addiction or losing somebody about whom you care very deeply to an overdose and you want to tell your story, I would love to hear it. And I mean, not that I, you know, I'm not somebody who is a sadist who enjoys other people's pain. That would be sick. But I like to hear it because I believe you might be doing a service to somebody else who's listening. And, you know, we just have, my heart breaks for all of the parents who are listening to this show who want to call in, but they're too embarrassed to call in. And they're too afraid or ashamed to call in. I get it. I understand. And I don't want you to call in. There's no reason for it. If it would cause you pain or distress, there's no reason for you to put yourself through that. But if you are somewhat, I don't want to say relieved, but if in some way, shape, or form this is helping you because you realize you are not alone and it's nothing you did, then I will feel as though I can go home and look at myself in the mirror and think, you know what? It wasn't a real pick-me-up topic, but I think I might have actually helped people today. I think my listeners helped other listeners today. And believe it or not, that's important to me. It doesn't happen every day, but it is important to me. All right, now let us go back to the calls. And it is Stephanie, Grand Island. Stephanie, thank you for your patience in holding. I get very passionate about this topic because I've seen way too many people in pain, and you're on WBEN.
Hey, Tom. I'm very passionate about it as well. I think that the more that it's brought out and the more that people talk about it, the more educated people become, the less deaths we are going to have from it. My nephew passed of an overdose last year, but it was actually the fentanyl poisoning that killed him.
What was the fentanyl mixed in with anything?
I guess. Yes, it was, unbeknownst to him.
Yeah, and that's a huge problem. What did he think he was doing?
You know, I honestly don't know.
Well, and the reason I bring this, and I'm not trying to pry or put my nose where it doesn't belong, but I used to hear heroin mixed with fentanyl a lot, but lately, the past two or three people who've told me about deaths because of overdoses, it's been cocaine, fentanyl mixed with cocaine.
And, you know, everybody, not everybody, but most people have a stereotypical view of what a person that's an addict is. And I'm here to tell you that there's no socioeconomic background, race, religion. It can happen to anybody. It can happen to your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews. You know, people just need to educate themselves on this and be aware that, you know, A, it can happen to them. B, there's so many bad things out there right now that children don't know, young adults don't know what they're getting and what they're taking, and if it's going to be the last time. And I have seen my sister suffer like I never want to see anyone ever suffer. And
what, forgive my interruption, but were there any indicators before the overdose that this person was having an issue with drugs?
Not like this. No, this was blindsided. Blindsided with this.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, because most of the people that with whom I've spoken about these overdoses, they knew that their loved one had a drug problem. And some of them thought they were done with the drug problem, and then they got punched in the face with the fatal call.
Right. And, you know, I want to let you know what a strong person my sister is. I really need to give her credit where it's due, because I'm not sure that, honestly, I would be able to make it through one of my children, my grandchildren, you know, passing before I did. But she's taken, you know, her mourning and her sadness and everything, and she's put it into trying to make something positive out of educating people and getting people to know, you know, the signs, and if people need help, where to go and how to get it. And, you know, there's so many places out there that you can get help right now. And people, you know, just have to get over the fact that there is nothing to be ashamed of. It can happen to anybody. And this is probably going to be something that may not be a really good example, but...
You know, hold on, because there's so many things I want to talk to you about. I'm up against that menace known as the clock. So hold on till after the news, if you'd like to, okay?
Sure.
Yeah, because this is important, and she's given us some good information here, and I can't cut her off, and sometimes that happens. Oh, thank you for remembering, Phil. I suddenly feel that I'm at a Yacht Fathers show listening to Scott Cellini. Now, Scott is part of many bands in Western New York, and I'm not trying to demean anybody else in the band. Everybody in that band and so many other musicians in Western New York are absolutely phenomenal. And Scott Cellini the other night just blew me away, because I knew he was good. I knew he was really good, but he was hitting some notes the other night that I didn't think he could hit. In fact, I didn't think mere mortals other than Freddie Mercury could hit the notes, but Scott was amazing. I mean, Ed Weiner is amazing, and I could go through everybody in the band, but you know I love you, and McGuire, Back to the Bars, I love you too, and you too, Chimes, all of you. I'm just happy the local music people have taken me under their wing. It's a nice feeling to be part of the club, if you will. And, you know, you talk about, you know, you talk about, well, we are talking about drug overdoses and how overdoses have hit you and your family and your life. And if you're just joining us, I'm well aware that this ain't exactly a, hey, let's yuck it up show. It's not intended to be. But I'm going to tell you something. In all honesty, guys, I'm going to get more feedback on this show through email. And when I go out on the town, and you know I go out on the town because you see me out on the town with all my, well, with my friends. We couldn't fit all of them into one place. And that's a nice feeling, I got to tell you. But I don't exactly go home and just hide out. I mean, I'm out there. And, you know, sometimes you guys will come up to me and you'll talk to me. And it just happened that not that long ago, I don't want to be too specific, but somebody that I've known previously came up to me and told me that her son had died from cocaine and heroin and fentanyl. And you could have knocked me over with a feather. And just very, very recently, again, not wanting to be too specific, another mom contacted me about losing her son to the same stuff. And, you know, I had met this young man, and, you know, I've been like you, I've been to some of these wakes, and it goes without saying that as a parent, the worst thing you ever have to do, and you hope it doesn't happen to you, is bury a child. You know, we have people who have given their lives in service to our country and to our public safety. And we have people who have died in car accidents and through disease processes. And then when you hear about the overdose deaths from drugs or alcohol, it is just so sad. And, you know, one of the things that I find sad and this will be the last time I say this today, but I just think it needs to be said. You know, people who lose a child to overdoses, they are really concerned that they're going to be judged by the rest of us. Will this person think I was a horrible mom because my son died of a drug overdose? Will they think I was a horrible father? Was I a bad employer for not seeing the signs? You know, there are a lot of concerns people have. And I always, whenever I do this topic, guys, I just always try to stress that it's a judgment-free zone. You know, and sometimes people misunderstand what I'm trying to say when I say judgment-free zone. And what I mean by that is that you call in and you say, hey, I was addicted to coke. I was addicted to heroin. I got off of it. Or my son died of this or that. My mind does not go to, wow, what a scumbag person this was. No, not at all. The face of addiction, I don't care if you're white, black, Asian. I don't care if you're tall, short, rich, poor. Doesn't matter. The face of addiction could look very much like the face you see when you look in a mirror. And it doesn't make somebody a bad parent, and it doesn't make somebody a bad person. You know, we all wrestle with our demons in life, and hopefully we conquer them. But the last thing people need when they're grieving a loved one is any judgment. And I don't think you should be ashamed of losing a child to addiction. Sad? Yes, of course you're going to be sad. And you know what? The pain never goes away when you're a parent and you lose a child, regardless of the cause. I mentioned this yesterday, but my mom was in her 80s when my brother died at 65 of heart disease. There she is in her 80s, and he was 65. It wasn't easy for her at all to bury my brother. It wasn't easy for any of us, especially mom. So anyway, I guess what I'm asking for, and, you know, some people, it's interesting because some people think, oh, you know, Bowerly's gone left. Bowerly's gone liberal. I'm more conservative than I've ever been in my life. But, you know, along with age and learning a few things along the way, along with that comes, hopefully, I hope, a certain amount of wisdom so you're better able to analyze when things go sideways for people, and you're less likely with wisdom to go into judgmental mode. And if you don't gain wisdom in life as you get older, it's not too late to start. And it doesn't mean that I'm a left-wing liberal at all. I mean, you think that only left-wing liberals die of overdoses? You know, I mean, the people I know who've been through this, most of them have been as I am. They've been, you know, right-wing conservative. Some of them have been born-again conservative types. Some of them have been, more civil libertarian types than I. But, you know, politics has nothing to do with this. Race has nothing to do with it. Religion, income, nothing to do with it at all. It can affect anybody. It's the universal equalizer. And I'm glad, I said this before, I'm glad that you guys trust me enough to call in and tell me these very personal stories, because you're not really telling them to me, you're telling them to your fellow listeners, and I think helping your fellow listeners. And I think you're doing more good than you have any idea you are doing. And I'm so grateful for that. And let's go back to Stephanie Grand Island, who lost her nephew to addiction. And she said it was a long story. And she said her sister is actually taking steps to turn the loss into something affirmative.
Yes, she is, actually. She started a foundation. It's called, his nickname was Bont, B-O-N-T. And it's called Bont's World Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization. And the mission of it is to save lives by raising money to help those in need to get into treatment facilities. And, education and helping people that are in need and getting rid of the stereotyping and having people not be afraid to come and ask for help. And she wants to make his death not be in vain, but she wants to be able to, you know, have other families understand that, it, like you said, it's not their fault. And, you know, quite honestly, COVID has done a lot of its own damage, too, without people being able to get counseling that they need and, you know, the help that they need because everything has had to be canceled because of COVID.
And COVID has also led to more depression than ever before. And I got to tell you something. When I found out that Canal Fest is canceled again this year, my mood took a nosedive. It's like, no, not another summer. Because people, I mean, to finish the thought, you know, Stephanie, people live for these benchmark events of summer and the benchmark events of their lives, like proms and the high school championship basketball game and Canal Fest. And when you start pulling the rug out from people's normal and you keep it pulled out, people go into a free fall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, not being able to do the things that you're used to doing. And, you know, realistically, how many people have, you know, lost so much during this time? You know, maybe their jobs, their homes, can't feed their families. And we're seeing not only the ages of people that are dying from overdoses going up to, like, people in their, believe it or not, 40s, 50s, and 60s because of all this as well. But again, I can't stress enough that, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
No. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that about older people, too, because I kind of alluded to that before. If somebody has been doing cocaine for decades, you know, periodic, occasional user of cocaine, you know, they think, oh, I know this drug. I know what it does. But they have a false sense of security and they don't realize that the next gram they buy is going to be laced with fentanyl, and you ain't waking up.
Absolutely true.
And that's a real problem. And, you know, I've even heard a story, and this person has never lied to me, about somebody from a funeral home who is dispatched to a certain location to retrieve two bodies of overdose victims. The person from the funeral home took the drugs himself and died.
Wow.
Which speaks to the horrifying power of addiction. You know, knowing what you're getting into and then doing it yourself, good grief. I'm grateful, Stephanie, for your call. Please give your sis my best and our best, and I hope that Bont's World is successful in achieving its mission.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for doing your show on this, because it's just so very, very important.
Well, when you thank me for doing the show, also thank Tim Wenger for letting me do this show, because, you know, he understands as a program director that we are a local radio station and this is a big local issue, and that, you know, every show doesn't have to be politics and arguments. Sometimes you got to do a show like this, and I'm grateful that he gives me the latitude to do it. A lot of program directors wouldn't let me do this. So thank you for the call.
Absolutely.
All right. It is, and for those who don't know, and this is going to sound like absolute butt-kissing, but Tim Wenger is very highly regarded in the talk radio business as one of the best program directors in the country. Now, he's probably kicking the radio right now saying, you, but he is. He's like a legend in talk radio, but you don't know that because he's in Buffalo and you're not in the business. But I talk to people elsewhere in the business, and believe me, he has an outstanding reputation. Phil Kennedy doesn't really, but we try to boost Phil. All right, back to the calls on WBEN. And next up, we have Wendy in Buffalo. Wendy, thank you for holding. You're on WBEN.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Hello, my dear.
Okay, so I'm calling because February 25th of 2015, my son was one of the six young men who were died of a drug overdose due to heroin laced with the fentanyl.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, it's been 6 years. It was just the 25th of last month. And I guess I'm calling because at first I used to think that it was my fault and that I wasn't a good mom. But it was more of the people who I let him hang around with and surrounded. You know, he was in kids escaping. He had a torrid childhood. You know what I mean? He was always in trouble. He's been at Gateway Longview. He was at GA Family Services. And then, you know.
So you did, I mean, without listing everybody, I guess, you did everything a human being reasonably could have done to get your son clean.
Right. But kids escaping drugs was his lifesaver because he was 17 when he went to that program, and you're only there till you're 18 and then you're not, okay? You're cut off. But he got there in June of 2015. He got there in that June, okay? And he was supposed to leave August 16 when he turned 17, but they kept him for 3 years. He graduated the program, got into the assisted living over at Cass Manor in South Buffalo, and he was doing the meetings. I was taking him to the meetings and doing whatever. He scored a perfect score on the GED.
Wow.
Math. Okay. He signed up for Damon College. He got the Cass Manor, you know, got him in there, and, you know, three of his friends, they all bunked together. But he met a girl, and this girl was still doing drugs. And one day on February 25th, he called me in the morning and said, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to a meeting. Do you want me to get you a sub?" You know what I mean? Because, you know, where I work, it was like downtown, you know, where I work. And I said, "No, that's okay. That's okay." And then 2 hours later, I had somebody call me. I didn't even get notified first. It was on social media first.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So I was a little upset about that.
And you should be.
Job, and somebody's like, I called Cass Manor, and they said, "Well, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, Nicholas passed away." And I'm like, I just talked to him like an hour ago. And
my dear, the pain that you've been through, your resiliency in calling, I applaud it. And I'm so glad that you recognize it wasn't you. It wasn't you. You do not have to carry a cross and burden of guilt. You did everything you could. And I'm sorry the outcome was the way it was. And I'm sorry you had to find out that way. That is no way to receive a death notification. Wendy, I'm so glad you called. And I wish you and your family the best. Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a good day.
All right, Wendy. I mean, to tell me that story and go through everything she went through, and then she wishes me a good day, that is a strong woman. And all of you people who've called in today have been strong. You've been inspirational. And I hope that if you know somebody who might benefit by listening to some of the callers we've had on this show, that you will steer them to WBEN.com and have them listen. There might be somebody you know whose child has died of an overdose, somebody you know who may have relapsed back. Well, that's a redundancy. Who may have relapsed. Please have them listen to this show at WBEN.com. And hopefully they will find it of some value and some use. And we're going to do this show again in the future, not in the near future, but I'm going to be here for a long time, God willing. So we'll certainly visit this issue again. In the meantime, thank you so much again for trusting me to tell me these stories, and more importantly, the audience, your stories. Thank you for your courage. Thanks for your trust. I really appreciate it, and we all do here at WBEN.
Love sports? Love culture? Well, I've got a brand new podcast called Take Line, hosted by me, Jason Concepcion, and two-time WNBA champion Renee Montgomery. From the games to the players to the issues happening both on and off the court, we'll be tackling the important political and social issues happening in sports head on. New episodes drop every Tuesday, so listen and subscribe on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wondering why Tops friendly market shoppers are getting footloose in produce and letting out shouts at our checkouts? It's Monopoly season, and there's over $30 million in prizes and savings up for grabs, from gift cards to food to fuel and more. And of course, the grand prize. You could win your share of $500,000 with 50 chances to win a $10,000 food and fuel stimulus. Plus, use the all-new super simple Tops Monopoly Rip It and Win It app to scan your online codes and enter for extra prizes. What are you waiting for? It's time to shop, rip, and win with Tops Monopoly. No purchase necessary. See store for official rules. Copyright 1935, 2021, Hasbro.